Baptist Church. We're going to go ahead and get started. We're going to sing Victory in Jesus, 523 for the piano. Victory in Jesus, first, second, and last verse. Powerful hymn of victory. Let's sing out. Put some energy into it.
I heard it all.
Sing another long song. 206, Wonderful Grace of Jesus, first, second, last verse.
Take away my burden.
Spectacular. I appreciate that. And wonderful to have that. Mr. White, thank you so much for leading and singing. He works really, really hard at that. I appreciate his hard work. And welcome to Skyview Baptist Church evening service. And it was really a wonderful time this morning. And this morning at 11 a.m. service. There we go. My brain wasn't working too good. And my prediction was right. And so I need the people of Vancouver to please send me thank yous. They can include money or bacon. And that's basically, I said, since the thunderstorms are coming, I'm going to make an audible. And I'm going to call off the parking lot service because at the time we didn't have a system figured out to keep the equipment dry and it would destroy the equipment. And so I said, as soon as we call it off, I guarantee you what will happen is it'll be so sunny outside you can get a sunburn. And it's so sunny outside, you could get a sunburn. So that is because we called off the service. If we did not call off the service, there'd be thunder and lightning and hail and more, pestilence across the country. And so, America, you owe us. And we are doing our live feed service. We appreciate everybody coming. Let me give you a couple quick announcements. We appreciate those who were able to come to the morning service. And we're being extremely strict in our morning service to be safe. We have a COVID safety team that is in charge of making sure that everything's done safely in a way that keeps every single member who comes protected as much as humanly possible. And so a couple things that we did, we talked about people coming early enough to get their temperatures taken at the door. You're asked several questions. Do you have fevers and aches and pains and things like that? And then assuming that all the questions are asked correctly, you're escorted in with someone who stays 6 feet away, put at a spot 6 feet away. They have 6 foot long sticks. They're carrying these sticks that look like they're weapons or something, and they seat you apart, and then we make sure that we had to close the restrooms. That's very difficult to say. We have to close the restrooms, but we had to close the restrooms to keep everything sanitary. Public restrooms are a very dangerous spot to catch disease and things like that, and shorten the service and things like that. But everybody did a wonderful job. It was just a wonderful, wonderful time getting a chance to see everybody. What a blessing. We have talked very extensively, Brother Myers and myself, about the parking lot service. And I know there are people who are either at high risk or work directly with people who are at high risk. And that's why we're still pushing for a parking lot service, because that allows you to come to church, stay in your vehicle, completely contained, windows up, not windows down. And we broadcast over the FM frequency. It's posted when you get there. And you'll be able to tune in to the service, see it live. You have people wave at you. You get to say hi. Call people on the phone. It's you know, when you talk through the glass, I told people it's like visiting someone in jail. But you can bring your prison to church. So it's awesome. But there are people. Now listen, if you're at high risk, please don't be cavalier. I want you alive. Dead people don't tithe. No, I'm kidding. But I want you alive and taking care of yourself, and we want your safety. So I don't want you to feel pressured. We're not going to, you know, have groups to talk about who didn't show and why you didn't show and things like that. I want you to take care of yourself. Only for the people who said, you know, I see what they're doing. I think it's safe. I want to be here. I understand the risks. I think this is what God wants me to do. We honor that. But I just want you to take care of yourselves. Having said that, we also want to create opportunities for you as much as we can do. And that's why we are still pushing the parking lot service. We're working on it. Please tune in Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. because that'll give you the details of what we're doing for sure. But we've talked about several ideas of how we can make it happen next week, how we can make it happen when it rains, how we can do this and what it looks like. So we're still pushing for that. And if you're not able to come into the service, we want to provide something for you. And if you can't come to the parking lot service, you have live stream. Steve calls each time. He sends a text or he makes a post, Steve Naylor, and he's here all the time. And he's got to be locked up in his house. He's very high risk. If you know anything about what Steve deals with, this could be fatal. And but Steve's still doing everything he can to be faithful to church. We have many of our members like that who are doing a wonderful job of doing everything they can to be as faithful as they can. And I want to encourage you with that. And so a couple other quick announcements. If you send your tithe in via mail, then please make sure to put in the envelope your cell phone number. And the people who get the mail will check through it. They will pull out your number, your phone number, and they will text you or call you to let you know that they have received the checks. And people have been wondering about that. We're not able to count as often because the rules are pretty strict about how we can count and who has to be here. So we ask our people, the people who are counting, have not been able to count as often. And so I know that we've got a couple weeks back, and our people are counting tonight, and they'll be deposited tonight, and Monday it'll go into the bank. So sometime Monday night or Tuesday you'll see some of those checks come through. But having done that, if you want to know the check made it, we'll text you and let you know right away. Let's see. One thing that I want to say is a praise item. With the money that the Skyview has given and the money that we have in some missions, our missions fund, we were able to help over 30 missionaries and pastors. Something you don't know, Brother Myers has been traveling and helping different pastors who are trying to do their online service and trying to do their parking lot services and things like that. He's been a huge blessing to a lot of churches. And I was teasing Brother Myers a while back. God's giving him a ministry to help pastors. And a while ago, if you know Brother Myers very well, you'll know this, that he doesn't come across as someone that's all snuggly and warm and you walk in the room and say, oh, I just want to be all close to him. If you get too close to him, you might get karate chopped. Yeah. He's hugging his son back there. Then he hits him. That's how it goes. So, but I noticed something early on that several people, pastors, would come to him and say, how did you do this? How do you do these things? What do you do? And God's given a ministry to help pastors. I'm one of the pastors he's been helping. And I said, when I saw that, I said, let's pursue that, see what God does. And honestly, I say this in all sincerity, he helps more pastors than I do. I'm thrilled to be a help. It's what I'm looking for. That's not my gift. I'd love to help pastors. I want to be a help. So it's not that I don't want to be around pastors, but God's gifted him there, and he's been using that gift. So through that, we've been able to help missionaries and pastors, over 30 of them so far. That's a huge blessing. Look, folks, when things get tight, and things start. People start hoarding and keeping in. That's the time that we say, wait a minute.
It's not tight for us. In our country, there is no economic problem. You say, well, wait a minute. How many people in America are unemployed? I'm not talking about America. Our citizenship is in heaven. And how'd that go? Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Where there's joy, joy, joy. There's no COVID in heaven. There's no economic bust in heaven. Streets are still made of gold. Nobody's looting the streets of gold. Our Heavenly Father still got plenty. And we want to be givers, whatever, however we can. And I want to encourage you, don't tighten your pocketbooks. Have reserves. Understand that you need to have reserves. Pray about what you, but also pray about what you can give. Be a giver in tough times. It's a huge principle. And being able to do that as a church, it's a blessing to be able to be a help to people. And we've been very thankful for that. And then I mentioned this. We are being very strict about our COVID safety rules. Because as we do well, and we make sure our people are safe, we can explore the possibility of doing more ministry. The more ministry we can do safely and do the right way, the more we can help people. And that and God has us here to glorify God. Part of glorifying God is helping others. And so I appreciate everybody working so hard. I'm telling you, folks, we had the COVID safety team met several times, practiced several times, worked out all the kinks and bugs. The members came in and everybody joined in and worked as a team. We didn't have anybody saying, well, just don't. You know, everybody jumped in. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to thank you so much for that. Let's see. And then I'm trying to make sure. See, premises. Please make sure to check our website for any updates, and that'll help us to understand. We're hoping to get into a system when it comes to morning services and parking lot services and evening services and midweek services that'll be a help to our people. So please keep checking the website for updates. It's tremendous. A lot of people say, well, I didn't know about these things. I can't. We don't have the ability to let everybody know. Brother and Mrs. Myers have compiled an email list just from people I've tried to email from different sources I had. And if you don't know if you have not received emails of what's going on and so forth, if you could send them an email and let them know that there's a that what your email address is, we can make sure you get something like that. Mr. Myers, where would they send that to? Okay, so send it to either Chris M. as in Myers or Julie M. as in Myers at skyviewbaptist.com, and they're helping us compile a list of emails so we make sure people aren't left out when we have announcements and things like that. Look, I see Cheryl Park on there, and a couple of Christopher Luce is there, and E.B. Harris, Brother Harris, that's awesome. Betty Lou White, I think I know that person. Betty Lou White, that's my mommy. And hi, Mom. I was just thinking, Gabriel, my brother Gabriel is right here, and Gabriel's here, and he's going this goatee, and I was thinking, he looks like somebody, I can't think of who it is, I figured out who it is. Nebuchadnezzar off of VeggieTales, and you got the goatee, he looks like, Nebuchadnezzar is, what is he, a cucumber or zucchini, he's zucchini, yeah, he looks, and is it called Nebi? What's his name, do you remember? Later, but, huh? Mr. Nezer, that's it. Looks like Mr. Nezer. So I'm going to ask Brother Gabriel to sing a special today. It's called The Bunny, Ooh, I Love the Bunny. All right? And you guys will love it. I was sitting there going, I know him from somewhere. He's got that new goatee, and so he'll be famous. Your dad will be famous. And he grew a beard because he wants to be like you. Okay, that's why he did it, if you're really good today, we'll figure out how to get Brother Gabriel up, get his mask off, and you can see the. Wait a minute, if they want to see your beard, they have to tune in at 12:30 for the junior church service, and they'll be able to watch the junior church service, and maybe we'll do a skit with Nebuchadnezzar and the bunny and all that stuff. We'll see if we can figure all that out. So that'll be a lot of fun. Thank you so much for joining us, and I guess I better let you get up here and sing. Ready to get up here and lead us in a song?
You got to take the mask off.
It might help.
Okay, we're going to sing Nothing Between, my soul and savior.
Nothing between my soul and the Savior.
humble and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear, let nothing be, and on the last, nothing between.
Thank you, Mr. White. I appreciate that. That was wonderful. This time we take our tithes and offerings. The word tithe is a word that means tenth. That's what the word tithe means. And I mentioned earlier this morning that in the New Testament, Jesus Christ told the Pharisees, he was rebuking the Pharisees, actually, in this particular text. He told you tithe the mint and the cumin and the spices and so on, but you neglect the weightier matters of the law. And he said, you squint at the gnat and swallow the camel. He's saying you put too much emphasis on the smaller things and not enough on the bigger things. So we get the principle there. But he made a statement at the end of that principle when he looked at them and he said, these things ought you to have done and not to let the others undone. He said, I wanted you to tithe on everything. Anything you increase. Christmas presents. If someone gives you a cookie, you've increased. He wants you to keep track of all that. Well, if you know me, I'm not a detail person. That scared me when I read that. I was like, Lord, how do I keep? I can't keep track of what day it is. I can't remember what my birthday is. People ask me questions like, when's your birthday? And I go, oh, what's your phone number? Oh. And then I got to remember that when I get a gift card, as someone's being thankful, or someone buys me Dutch Brothers or something, that I'm supposed to tithe on that. And so what I actually did, my wife and I agreed, is we give a higher percentage than 10% on a regular basis to buffer those little things I don't think of. So some people give 10%. I give as a regular giving a higher percentage than 10%. Then I give my offerings. And I won't say what it is, but the idea is simply I wanted to give enough. Here's the thing. I want to be a giver. I want to give so much that it's never a question. There's questions that people ask, you know, do you tithe on gross or net? And I say, well, what'd you increase? You know, did you increase and the government took some of your money? How does that work? And we work through a lot of those questions. But ultimately, at the end of the day, some of those questions are hard. That my answer is, Lord, I want to make sure I give more. And I ask God specifically to give me money to give. I the Bible says, let him that stole steal no more, but work with his hands that he may have to give. He said there's a place in the Bible. He says, hey, I got an idea for you. Why don't you earn money on the side, just earn some money just to give. Give it to what? Well, I don't know. It's your giving money to be a blessing. Several families in our church, when we gave out the potatoes, there's a couple different families that brought some income, and they brought some things that they could give to people to try to be a blessing. And those people have no idea that family did that for them, but the families are going to get blessed. They said, God, give me money to give. Give me money to give. And there's an opportunity to give and to be a blessing and to help people. I love being the channel for that. I always love to look on people's faces when I say, you know, someone just paid your way to go to a youth conference, and someone just paid your way to be able to take a missions trip, and there's someone who loved you enough to do such and such, and they do it anonymously. They don't want people to know, and it's always fun. I get to report back to them. You should have seen them. One time there's a young man who has been praying and fasting. He couldn't make a trip. He felt like God wanted him to go to the Philippines. Alex Beltran, I think Alex is watching right now. He goes to Harvest Baptist College, and he couldn't make it to the Philippines. He was a teenager, didn't have a job. You know, he's just going through school. And he said, I want to see what God can do. And he prayed and he fasted. And I don't remember if it was the first day or the second day of fasting, but I know he was down and he was praying and he was weak physically. Someone came and said, you know what? The Lord told me to pay Alex's way to the Philippines. How much is that? And I told them. They said, okay. Tell him it's paid. I'm like, well, did the Lord say anything about me? No, I'm kidding. I said, okay. And I went and found Alex, and he was actually in this auditorium, and he was praying. I said, Alex, I need to interrupt you for a second. He goes, yes, Pastor. I said, we got a problem. I need to talk to you. He said, what's that? Of course, he's thinking he's in trouble for something, you know. I said, you wanted to go to the Philippines, right? Yeah. And you don't have any money. He goes, that's right. I said, and I have a sneaky suspicion you're praying and fasting. He said, well, I'm not supposed to talk about it. I said, yeah, I get that. I said, someone just told me to tell you they're going to pay your way. He just started crying. Just lost it immediately. Could not believe the goodness of God. And that person got a blessing. Alex this day doesn't know who the person is. That person I know is watching right now. And it's fun to be the one who gets to be the face of that. But honestly, there's rewards in heaven waiting for you. Be a giver, especially in the time of hoarding. If things get tight, you say, I only have 10 grains of rice and then I'm going to die. Then just give one, maybe two. Do what you can. Be the giver. It'll change your world. At this time, we take our tithes and offerings. The way I do it is I get an offering plate up here, and then we pray, put some money in the offering. And at that time, I'm asking our people who give online, if they'll go to skyviewbaptist.com, click in the upper right-hand corner where it says give, and then it just fill out the information. It's really pretty simple. It's secure. We have a high security thing. So people are like, oh, I don't know. You know, the Chinese people might steal it. No, they don't. If they're going to come after somebody and they're going to do high-tech, high-tech, you know, code breaking and stuff, they're not going to come after our bank account. we're not that big of a target. But it's safe giving. We've never had a problem with it. You fill out the information. And then when it says notes, that's what you got to remember. Where it says notes, please put down how much is for tithe and if there's any special giving towards missions or specific needs to help or if you want to help with our others fund. We're trying to use our others or our benevolence fund to try to buy some things and maybe deliver them to some folks and be a help to folks. Buy food and maybe buy rice or buy some food and deliver it to the people and let them know that we care. So things like that. If you will help towards that, put that in the notes and then we'll know how to designate it. Wonderful. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God to bless the offering. Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give back a small portion of that which you've given us. And Lord, you've been so kind to us and so good to us. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you help us to use this for your glory and for your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. That was beautiful. And I appreciate Joy White pretending to play the piano. There's a second piano over here to our right, and I was actually playing on that piano and giving Joy credit because she's my daughter, and I wanted her to feel good about herself. So thank you, Joy. I appreciate it. Nobody believes me, but that's okay. Huh? No, thank you. One time we did a duet, and I just went up and sat by her while she was playing the piano in the middle of church. And she rolled with it. She does good by having a father like me. She's learned how to do that kind of stuff. She's rolling along, and then she'd point at a key, and she'd point at her, dink. She'd point at another key, and I would dink. And I got to play part of a duet. And that was my first piano special, and everybody was very proud of me. If you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 20. I saw Carl Leichelt on here. Carl, it's good to see you watching, buddy. God bless you. It's hard to believe that you were a teenager in my teen group, and thinking you have a wife and family, that makes me an old man, and God bless you. Brother Samuel Filbert is watching from St. Lucia in the Caribbean, and that is wonderful. Brother Filbert is a wonderful man of God. He preached here a couple times, and God's used him in a special, special way, and we love Brother Filbert around here. He helps a lot of pastors in the Caribbean islands. And if you ever want to be a help to a pastor, you help Brother Filbert, and he'll use that to help many other pastors. So Proverbs chapter 20, we've been going through Proverbs chapter 20 verse by verse, and I meant to go a little quicker, but in particular, especially Proverbs chapter 20, it's very divided verse by verse. You'll find that if you read Proverbs well, you'll see that it has a lot more in-context subject matter than on first reading. A lot of times you think they're just unrelated sentences. But as you read through the chapters and you read through the sections of the chapters, you'll find that a lot of it is related to each other. A lot of these words of wisdom and these pithy small sayings were put together for a reason in the context they're in. Proverbs chapter 20 is a little bit different, where it has just a lot of statements that are very, very powerful. And the book of Proverbs is designed to give a young person wisdom for life. The book of Ecclesiastes, written by God through Solomon, was designed to show what it is when you disregard wisdom and what life is like living in the wisdom of the flesh and the end of that, what that's like. And so Proverbs gives you the opportunity to have great wisdom. And the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom with all thy getting, get understanding. The most important thing you'll ever get is wisdom. Logicking or reasoning the way God reasons, that's wisdom. And thinking the way God thinks. So, Proverbs chapter 20, we've made it to verse number 6. Last week we talked about counsel in verse 5. And we talked about a man of understanding will pull counsel out of people. You can either learn by having a good teacher, or you can learn because you're a good learner. And a good learner can learn from even a bad teacher. If you have a teacher in school or someone who's trying to teach you or maybe a mentor at work that's not a good teacher, you can be such a good learner that you could pull the counsel out of the heart of man. Like pulling water from a deep well, you can dig for it and work for it and get it. And so we learned that last week. And this week we're in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6. We'll read that verse and then we'll have a word of prayer and then we'll get into the message for today. The Bible says this, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Let's have a word of prayer and get the message for today. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, it seems like just a sentence, but Lord, each word is inspired. You said every jot and every tittle, every punctuation is inspired by you. Not only did you inspire it and bring it from heaven using men as the avenue and create your perfect word, but then you preserved it. After it was created, inspired, and perfect, you preserved it perfect throughout time. Lord, we're so thankful for that. We're thankful that we can trust your word, we can lean on your word, that your word is so perfect. Help us, Lord, to learn from your word. Send your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts through your word. Let us be what you desire for us to be, because we yield to the words of your book. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim every man his own goodness. That means, hey, I did the right thing. Brag on themselves, pat themselves on the back. I have to admit, I'm one of those men. One thing I hate doing around the house, I don't mind doing some cleaning around the house, and I don't even mind taking out the garbage once in a while, that kind of stuff. That's not a big deal to me. I may not be really good at it, but that's okay. But I hate doing dishes. Now, In between the time that I got glasses and started losing my vision, my wife relieved me of the duty of doing dishes because I couldn't see those little spots that were left on there. And so she felt like, you know, the old statement, if you can't do it right, don't do it all. Don't do it at all. And I was like, do you promise, honey? And then I got glasses. But I hate doing dishes. I hate the feeling my hand gets afterwards. I hate that I can't touch anything. I just don't like that. And so if I do dishes around the house, it's not uncommon. And I didn't realize this till I heard a comedian point it out. I had no idea. I didn't really think about this. I just did it. I'll be like, hey, honey, guess what got done in the kitchen? Guess who did what got done in the kitchen? Guess who deserves a reward because somebody did the dishes? Or I'll walk in the kitchen and go, oh, what in the world? What's wrong? Somebody did the dishes. Was it you, Roman? Was it you, Danny? Was it you, Joy? Was it you, Lizzie? Was it you, Mom? Oh, who could it have been? And I always made such a big to-do, like, I did the dishes. And it was a lady comedian said, you ever notice how ladies do something every single day, and the one day a man does it, he walks in the room and says, hey, I did the dishes. And I started laughing so hard. I'm like, that's me. Every man would like to proclaim his own goodness. You ever been chewed out by somebody? And when you're getting chewed out, you're like, what about all the good things I do? Can't you focus on the good things I do? How come you never see the good things I do? Because you want to proclaim your own goodness. Now, you may have done something wrong. You may have done it the wrong way. But hey, what about my goodness? What about what I've done right? Every man, or most men, will proclaim everyone his own goodness. So that's common, and you have to work on that. That is a form of pride. And God sees your goodness. You have to trust God. You proclaim it to God, between you and God. But it's interesting that he says this. But, so in contrast, a faithful man who can find. Someone who does so much without anybody looking. He doesn't necessarily have to proclaim it. He lives it. You see, you got to understand, if I did the dishes every day, there would not be a public announcement every day. It would be normal for me to do the dishes. When I show up on time, you know, now it's not anything like it used to be. I was always late everywhere. And honestly, I'm still always late everywhere. I just show up a half hour early. So when I'm late, you don't know. I'm always 15 minutes late. So when you say, oh, Pastor White's 15 minutes early, actually I'm a half hour late. I just learned I'm 15 minutes late. I mean, I always try to show up early. But I used to always show up late. I had a reputation for that. So even to this day, sometimes I walk in and say, hello, everybody. I'm here and on time. Take a note, you know, and because it wasn't normal, I wasn't faithful with it. It wasn't an everyday occurrence. If I actually plan something and have something done on time and all the details done, I make a proclamation because it isn't an everyday event. The Bible says, but a faithful man who can find. The word faithful is permanently trustworthy, continuously, consistently trustworthy. Parents, as you're teaching your kids faithfulness, does this sound familiar to you? How many times have I told you to? You ever do that? Do you know what's missing in my house right now? Can I tell them, everybody? My family's here. My brown hairbrush. Everybody who knows me knows that's my pet peeve. See, there's other hairbrushes. There's a bunch of hairbrushes. But there's a VeggieTales song, since we're mentioning VeggieTales, that my favorite VeggieTales song ever. Oh, where is my hairbrush? Oh, where is my hairbrush? Oh, where? I can't go that high. Is my hairbrush? So understand that's my thing. That's like, I buy more. We have several. We have lots of hairbrushes. We have more hairbrushes than we have hairs to brush. But they've got to take my hairbrush, and no matter which one I buy that I designate as mine, it ends up being the one that everybody wants. It's the best one. And one time I tried to outbuy my family. Everybody knows me, knows the story. I went, I said, it's like $3 or $4 or $5 a hairbrush. So I bought about $30 for the hairbrushes. And every time I didn't have one, I just reach into a box I had and I'd pull out a new one and just use that and put it in the drawer. I went through 12 hairbrushes in less than 30 days. And I'm like, this can't be on accident. This is personal now. This is vindictive. And one day, we went to clean their minivan, and if you have kids and you clean a minivan, you understand there's usually food hiding in a minivan, but just about enough food to feed a third world country that hides in all the crevices. You take the seats out, you start cleaning, and you find banana peels that are stuck where the seats go in. Like, how did they get a banana peel down? How did they even, you have to take the seat off to do this. And as I'm doing that, I'm cleaning the van, I find 10 hairbrushes in the van. And I'm like, that's my thing. That's my pet peeve. It makes me angry. And so I say to my family all the time, I'm like, first off, did you take the hairbrush? Did you take the hairbrush? And nobody did. By the way, I know you're watching. So who are you? You know who I'm talking to. You're the person who sneaks into my house. You're the person who leaves things laying around that nobody knows how it got there. You're the person who takes my hairbrush. I know who you are. I'm coming for you, because nobody in my house ever does anything. Just mark your words. All right. But anyways, so I say, where's my hairbrush? And then I look at it and I'll catch somebody. They'll be in another room with my hairbrush, and I'll be like, Joy. She goes, no, I was going to return it. I was just saying, my hairbrush. Why do you have to have my hairbrush? How many times have I told you? I'll say, Danny, what? Let me see your backpack. Why? Give me your backpack. I'll grab his backpack. In fact, you know, I never thought about that. We're going home and checking your backpack, boy. Just thought of that. And I'll reach in, I go, that's my hairbrush. I just needed it to comb my hair. I got 50 in there. What? Yeah, but yours is the only one that works. I'm going to kill you. And I say, how many times have I told you? Parents, have you ever said that to your kids? How many times do you have to tell the kids every certain time? It's like they never get it. It's like over their heads every time. And it says that a faithful man, the permanently faithful means I told you, and you're doing it. You created the system that it took to be faithful. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to bash my kids. Well, I mean, if I get an opportunity, I always bash my kids. No, I'm not trying to bash my kids. But most parents have dealt with this, and your parents have dealt with it with you. How many times did I tell you? And what do you say? I forgot. Or, you never said that. I never said that. That's when a parent goes, I mean, I never said that. And it's like the word faithful here is permanently trustworthy. You say, I'll take care of it, and it will get taken care of. Or you'll let me know what happened. I will create the system that it takes to do what I'm supposed to do. And it says this, but a faithful man, who can find? The Bible talks about some people who are faithful and what happens with faithfulness. What is a faithful man? Let's talk about a few things that a faithful man is. I'll give you 2 points about a faithful man. One, tear-jerking illustration and take up an extra offering. No, I'm kidding, but we'll have some points. Who is a faithful man? Let's talk about this. One. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 35. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 35. You know what I'll do? I'll give you that one, but what I'll do is I will mention the verses. Brother Myers, I believe you have this already in writing, so we'll post it on the website. So we'll make sure it's posted on the website. But I'm going to go through these of who is a faithful man, and I won't have you look all of them up. You can write them down, jot them down, or look on the website. I'll give you the reference, but I'm not going to take the time for you to turn each time. God wants you spiritually faithful. In 1 Samuel 2:35 it says, and I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is mine in mine heart and in mine mind, and I will build him a secure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. God is looking for someone who's spiritually faithful. A faithful person is one you can trust. Proverbs 11:13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is faithful is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. You can trust a faithful person. They know what you want, and they'll do what you want. You know, there's some people, if they came to me and they said, so-and-so said something bad about you, I'm like, sure, okay. And there's other people, if they came to me and they said, so-and-so said something bad about you, I'd say, no, I don't believe it. Why? They're faithful. Now, I'm not the issue in this illustration. I'm just saying there's some people who are considered faithful. A talebearer is one who takes any opportunity to say something negative about you and to bring up something negative about you. A faithful person. The Bible says a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. I got your back. When you're not looking, I got your back. What do I say about you behind your back? You know, I preach a sermon about good gossip. There's two kinds of good gossip. If I want to say, Brother Gabriel, I'm going to gossip about you, and you did something bad, what can I say you did bad? You kicked a puppy, and you fed a cat. You did two bad things in one act, okay? So, Brother Gabriel, by the way, Brother Gabriel has a mean cat, doesn't he? That he plays with. He teaches the cat to be mean. You look at Brother Gabriel's arms, and there's scratch marks all the time on his arms. And he plays with the cat, and the cat scratches him and bites him, and he thinks it's funny. So he's a cat owner, right? But let's say Brother Gabriel's going to do something, and he did something bad and did something good. And we're using the cat-dog illustration. I always make fun like I don't like cats. I really do like cats. All you cat people that want to send me to prison, I actually, in real life, like cats. Boiled, fried, but no, I'm kidding. No, but I really do like cats, and I have fun with it. But we're using this as an illustration because I don't need to make up a sort of rumor about some sin that Brother Gabriel did. But Brother Gabriel, let's say that he was nice to a puppy and he was nice to a cat. Being nice to a cat was bad, and being nice to a puppy was good. There's two ways you gossip. You ready? One, you gossip to God. You bring to God what was unjust or wrong, and you ask God to take care of it. And the God of peace will be with you. You bring it before God. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Say, is vengeance wrong? No. It's just not your position to do it. That's God's position. You're not God. But you bring it before God. You see, in the book of Revelations, the people who were martyred for Christ's sake are sitting under the throne saying, how long, O Lord, until you avenge our death? And he says, a little while longer. They're in heaven and they're praying for vengeance. But it's God's job to have vengeance. So it's okay to gossip to God. That's called prayer. That's where you say bad gossip. But then there's something else called good gossip. If I see Brother Gabriel do something good, I'll say, hey, Brother Gabriel. I'll say, hey, did you guys see what Brother Gabriel did the other day? Promise not to tell. Promise not to tell. Brother Gabriel, it was nice to a dog. Brother Gabriel did something good for somebody. Brother Gabriel helped somebody. That talking behind his back, it's faithful. He should be able to know that I don't go behind his back and say, well, Brother Gabriel, you know. Brother, I mean, I'll make jokes about him here and make jokes about him behind his back. We have a fun understanding. But he should be able to know that his pastor is faithful and doesn't run him down and doesn't try to tell bad stories about him behind his back. The Bible says a faithful man who can find. Someone that can be trusted is called faithful. Someone who can be trusted also brings health. Proverbs 13:17 says, a wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health. Proverbs 25:13 says, as a cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his master. Imagine it being 100 degrees outside and you're just out in the sun working and it's hot, and then all of a sudden it just snows for 20 minutes. Oh, that would be refreshing for everybody except for me, because I love the heat. But that's such a refreshment. Like ice cream on a hot day, cold on a hot day, the Bible says it's refreshing. And it says this, that a faithful messenger is a refreshment. It's refreshing to know you can trust somebody to bring the right message. So they can be trusted not to lie. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:5, a faithful witness cannot lie, or will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A faithful witness will not lie. I know a man in our church. He was working for a company. That company had a fire marshal violation or whatever, and they had to shut the company down for a little bit and find a different location for a while. And it was going to take a week or so, and they said, well, we need to keep working. We'll go out of business. We don't have this contract. It was a small company. And his boss came to him and said, if the fire marshal comes in, say you didn't know and that I'm not here. And then the boss left. This man had just started the company pretty recently at that point. And then the boss came back into his office, and he went to the boss. He said, hey, he said, I do know. And I hate to say it this way, but if the fire marshal comes and he asks me to lie, I can't lie. And if you know I will lie for you, you know I'll lie to you. And I don't want to hurt you. And if you need, I'll even leave and not be here when the fire marshal comes. But I cannot lie. And the owner of the company was a Christian, but he didn't really know how the owner was going to react or anything like that. The owner of the company later came back to him and said, you're the kind of person I can trust, and elevated him high up in the company because he knew he could trust him. A faithful person will not lie. And it says, a faithful man who can find. If you own a company and you've got a faithful employee, you figure out how to keep them. He will tell the truth. He will tell the truth even when it hurts. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. There are some people I come to, I say, I need your opinion on this. And they go, well, it's going to hurt your feelings. I go, that's why I came to you. Why? I would rather know that I'm wrong than to not know and be ignorant about it and keep doing the wrong thing. A faithful man will say things to you even if it hurts, if it helps you, even if it makes you mad at them. There are times I say some things to people, and husbands and wives, I cannot tell you the amount of time people have come to me and say, and this is going to hurt people, ready? Ready to be hurt? They say, look, my home situation is horrible, okay? And my feelings are hurt every day, okay? And they tell me the tragedy, and there's legitimate tragedy. And they say, I want to divorce my spouse. And I say, have they been unfaithful? Well, no. But you don't understand. I get it. God says don't divorce them. Now, if your life's at risk, you may have to move out for a while. If they're beating you, you may have to separate for a little while. There's some leeway in protecting the family and things like that. But God says don't divorce. I cannot tell you how many people have been angry with me. Why? That's the truth. God's way is always better. See, there's people listening right now who are very good people who got divorced. I don't believe in throwing divorced people away. I don't believe in throwing anybody away. I think we've all done things we shouldn't do. But I cannot say it's okay apart from God's word. And I've hurt some people, but I did it because I loved them and I have to tell them the truth. God commands, if I'm going to be a Christian representing him, that I am faithful. You have to hear what is right and true. And it doesn't mean there's no life. It doesn't mean you can't serve God. It doesn't mean you can't go on with life. There's a lot of things that people add to that I'm not putting there. But it says this, the wounds of a friend. The faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. A friend will tell you the truth even when you don't want to hear it. God's looking for a faithful person. A trusted man will have blessings that money alone can't buy. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. And they will do what they are told. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 4, the Bible says, and the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither were there any error or faults found in him. He did what he was commanded to do. When the boss wasn't looking, he was working. When he was, ready, working from home, he was actually working from home. When he was supposed to be doing something when he was out of town, he was doing that something when he was out of town. Daniel was faithful. And the Bible says the faithful will please God. In Matthew 25:21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So two quick points. We learn what a faithful man is. Ask yourself this, by the way. Where are you faithful and where do you need to become more faithful? Where are you faithful and where do you need to become more faithful? Now let me give you two quick things. Are you ready for two things? We have time for two things, right, Mr. Myers? Are we almost out of time? I think we have time for two things. Are you guys ready? Here goes. Number one, God invests in faithful people. God invests. Say, oh, I want to be used of God. God, and Mr. Marsh, you do me a favor. We turn the ceiling fans on to suck some of the air out, get some air circulating. And God invests in faithful people. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 7, it says, "My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house." Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 7, "Thou art the Lord God who didst choose Abram, and broughtest him forth out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and gave us him the name of Abraham, and foundest his heart faithful before thee, and madest a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it, I say, to his seed, and hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous." He said he found faithful Abraham faithful. You ready for how he found Abraham faithful? Look at this, Genesis 18:17. The Bible says, "And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for," you ready to hear why? "I know him, and he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." Abraham was faithful. And God says, "I can use someone who's faithful." And you know what he says? Watch this. Roman, can you do me a favor? You're my son. Come stand up here real quick. Well, I can't move. I'll stay up here. Stand up on stage here real quick. Okay. Now, stay right there. This is my son, who is 6 foot tall. I'm almost 6 foot tall. He's just barely taller than me. And I'm going to stand up straight here. And this is Roman Jr. He got obviously his name from me, Roman and Roman Jr. And we are the new Roman, the revised Roman Empire. If you know prophecy, we're coming to get you. But now God says, "I'm giving you Roman Jr." When you were born, you were 10. Was he 10 pounds? Ms. White? Was Roman? Yeah, he was 10 pounds. Roman was born 10 pounds. Now, you were a big baby. And the very first thing he did when I held him in my arms was he turned his head and watched the football game with his dad. That's the way, that's what a son's supposed to do. Now, God gave me this son, and God made me a steward of his child. I am commanded by God to raise this child up to serve the Lord. He is not mine. I don't own him. I am raising him to serve God. And God said to Abraham, he said, "Abraham, I'm going to bless you because I know that you will be faithful to raise your children up to serve God." Isn't that interesting? "I want to have all the nations of the earth be blessed through you because I know you will rule your house faithfully. And I can trust you. You will raise your child up." So God is going to watch how I raise Roman. Now, watch this. Let's say, Roman, do you ever get in the way of the show when I'm watching a show? Have you ever gotten in my way before? Did I seem really happy about that? I paid him to say that. I'm generally not happy because my family has a way of only stepping in front of the show during the most exciting scenes. They say, "Dad, I have a question." I'm like, the end of the football game. They're throwing the Hail Mary. "Hey, Dad!" You're like, "Nah!" You know, and so I get hyped up. Now watch this. Does God tell you it's a sin to stand in front of my television? Okay, or computer. I don't have a television to watch on computer, but either way. So God didn't tell you that's a sin. So I'm getting angry because he didn't please me. God did not give me a child so I can have a servant and someone that can please me. God gave me a child to raise up for him. Have you ever got mad at your brother when you shouldn't have got mad and God wasn't happy about that? That's honest, okay? That's honest. He's gotten upset before. Have I ever corrected you for that? Have I ever told you this statement? "I know your brother deserved it this time, but it's not okay with God for you to get angry." Okay. Now, what was that? I corrected him because I was being faithful to God to raise up this young man to serve the Lord. You stay with me so far? God says, if he sees you as a faithful person, God can use you. He will trust you. He used Abraham because Abraham would be faithful to command his house. Thank you very much, Roman. You may have a seat. I love you, buddy. And I appreciate your help on this. God will take the time to invest in faithful people. Turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. I've got to go quick. Luke chapter 16. I'll drink while you look. Luke chapter 16. Watch what God says here in Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 13. Luke 16, verses 10 through 13. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Let me just stop for just a second there. I was with some men, and for a while I had a meeting I used to do with businessmen. And I would teach them biblical principles about business, and we'd share ideas, and we'd learn from each other. It was iron sharpening iron, Christian businessmen. And one of them said, you know how people always say, if I won $1 million, I'd give God half? He said, I wouldn't. I said, why wouldn't you? He says, because God said he's faithful in that which is least, will be faithful over in that which is much. I already have money, and I'm not giving God half. He said, I can tell what I would do and wouldn't do by what I do with a little that I do have. And I know what I would do if God gave me more. I said, wow, great principle. Let me ask you how you're giving, and I'll tell you how you'll give if you get more money. He said, but I'm not rich. According to other countries, you're filthy rich. I had someone contact me recently from an African country. He's a pastor. He's trying to serve God. They get one meal a day. And I believe it was mangoes, and then they boil leaves from a tree. And they get to eat those leaves. You're filthy rich if you live in America. If you live in America, you're in the top 6% of the world in wealth. What are you doing with what you have right now? That tells me what you'd do if God gave you more. But he that is faithful, verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And he that and if you have been faithful in that which is another man's, and if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can have two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You know, you find this. The Bible says, who will trust with you with the true riches? Do you understand? God watches what you do with the power of money to see what you would do with the power of God. Do you understand one of the mistakes in American churches right now, one of the huge errors in American churches right now, is we've become a consumer society. So you walk into an American church and you say, I'm the customer. How are you going to treat me? And you call up a church and you interview them the same way you would interview a business that you were going to do business with. By the way, you should know what a church believes and things like that. But I'm telling you, you're not the customer. When you go to a church, you are the customer service. You are to make the customer happy, and the customer is right always. God's the customer. Your customer service. You come to church to make God happy. You ask God where he wants you in church. You go where God puts you. You do what God tells you. Your customer service. And so watch this. In our society, we think the church, you know how you punish a church when you don't like them? What? You leave. You don't give them your business because you think you're the customer. By the way, we're trained that in America. We think we're the customer. And so what we do is the problem we're having in churches right now is since we're such consumer-minded, we say, I need the power of God. Wait a minute. You need it. Why? I don't feel good without it. My life is a wreck without it. It's God is giving you his power so you can be happy. You're not the customer. You are supposed to have the power of God so you can please God. I cannot please God in the flesh. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. I have to have the power of God to please God. I don't have the power of God so I can be happy, so I can feel good. I need the music so I can feel good. No, you sing the music to please God. God says, I want to see what you do if I gave you the power of God. So what God gauges is he sees what – I don't have one with me. God sees what you do with the power of money, the power you have on earth, the power of time, those powers that he gave you authority over on earth. And when God sees how you deal with the powers that he gave you on earth, then he decides from there if you are worthy to have the true riches, the power of God. Let me tell you something. If you can't handle money – why would God want you? There was an illustration. Pastor Bob Marshall told me, he was a wonderful man of God out in Indiana. He had a big influence in my life, and And at one point, he was we worked in B-52 bombers. It was in the would have been the late 80s. So they weren't what you think of. They were modern B-52 bombers, but it was still a B-52 bomber. And they had to go to one of the flight people who are pilots and work on planes. One of the things they have to go through is prisoner of war camp training. They take you through. It's kind of like a boot camp for what a prisoner of war camp would be. And one of the fellows that was put into this training, they put you in a mock prisoner of war camp, and they do many things, mental things to you and stuff, and they teach you what you're going to go through. One of the people was an officer. And when you put an officer, it has to be under enlisted men. Almost always those men will specifically pick on the officer. It's their chance to kind of get the officer. And so he was going through that training, and they were obviously picking on him. And one day they came in and they checked his bunker, his area, and his underwear wasn't folded right. And they grabbed his locker and they threw it on the ground. They said, "This wasn't folded right. Fold your underwear right, soldier." And they yelled at him. Well, he actually outranked them, even though for the time they had authority over him. And he lost it. And he yelled back at the sergeant, and he said, "Hey, I enlisted to fly B-52 bombers, not to fold underwear." And that sergeant got in his face, and the Bob Marshall told me about that, got nose to nose with him like they do. And he said, "Listen to me, boy. We're going to give your fingertip is going to be a button that'll launch a 52 megaton bomb. You want us to trust you with a 52 megaton bomb when we can't even trust you to fold underwear." And there was silence. "You want God to trust you with a 52 megaton bomb when he can't even trust you to deal with money, the steward money like he told you to. God will bless people who are faithful. He wants you to trust you with a B-52 bomb and he can't even trust you to raise your family like God told you to. You don't look the other way. You don't check out. You don't put your face in the computer all day. Raise your family like God told you to." You're asking him to give you the power of God, and you can't even fold your underwear. God invests in faithful people. And the last thing is very simple. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Rebecca Gottschalk Trice is online, which means Nate and Ellie are online. Hi, Nate and Ellie and Rebecca. And Pastor White's very hungry. You cook very good. You need to have him over to eat soon. They barbecue like you would not believe. When Nate barbecues, it's so good if you put it on your head, your tongue will beat your brains out trying to get to it. But we're sidetracking. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. The Bible says this: "And these things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Here's the last principle I want to leave you with. When you're serving God, you're supposed to invest your time in faithful men who will teach others to serve God also. So why do you say that's it's such a profound statement, Pastor? You know what God commanded me as a pastor?
What?
God commanded me to find those who will take the truths of the Word of God that I have learned from others and learned from the Word of God. And when I give it to them, they will use it to teach other people also. He said, invest your time in them. You know what else that means? What? Don't invest your time in those who are not faithful. That's a guiding principle that I have to follow, that you have to follow, in where to invest your time, who to invest your time in. There are people that I love. There are people that I like, and I like being around, and they're personal friends. But God said if they're not faithful, I can't invest my time in them. There are people that I like or don't like. I mean, they're okay. I'm not necessarily close friends with them, but they're faithful. And God said, invest your time in them. It doesn't matter how I feel about you. It doesn't matter how I'm related to you as a friend, a family, or a brother. Is my brother picking on you? A father. That doesn't matter. God says, if they're faithful, invest in them. If they're not faithful, don't invest your time there. You, as a Christian, you have the same principles as a businessman. He looks for the people who will be faithful and be successful and puts his time into them. And he didn't say successful. He said faithful. If you're faithful to God, that is successful. If you'll teach others what you've been trained from God, that is successful. But God says, Roman White, you are not allowed to invest in people who will not be faithful. I use this principle. I teach them in the business class often. I tell them, often what I do is I get you started. I teach you how to do things, and I help you get success. And I use the illustration. It's like you're on this hill, and I know enough how to get to the top of this hill, so I start pushing you up this hill. And often these young people, I'll have a class, and I'll give them items and say, here's how you get on eBay, and I'll help them get on eBay, and help them get on Craigslist, and help them get on OfferUp, and all these different kind of locations. And then I'll say, here's an item. Now, here's how you find out what it is. And I'll teach them how to research it and figure out what it is and what it's worth. And when they understand what it's worth, I'll teach them how to list it and how to get a PayPal account or how to meet people safely if they're going to meet people. And I'll do several things to help them to be successful to where they get to a place where they know how to get an item. They know what the item's worth. They know how to find the value of the item. And they made money. I said this before, my last business class that I did with the teenagers, the one who made the least amount of money per hour was $38 an hour, all in my high school business class. $38 an hour was the least that they made. And I teach them how to do that. And so basically I take them and I kind of push them up a hill. Then I just give them an item and I let go. Why do you let go? Because I want to see who's going to keep scratching their way up and keep clawing and keep trying. And how many, I cannot tell you right now, I think I'm safe to say at least 30% of the people that I've given items to still have those items and have never sold them over years ago. I let them go and they just went right back down the hill. God says, you can't invest in those. But I like them. You can't invest in those. But I really want to be around them and I really want their success and I really want to see them do well. You can't invest in those. Who do I invest in? The one you pushed up the hill, and then they kept scratching their way. They took what you gave them and built on it. Those are the ones you invest in. And that's the same principle in the Christian world. God will invest in the people who are faithful, and God wants you to invest in people who will be faithful. What if I don't like them? That's not what he said. What if I really, really love them and I want them to do well? Help them to become faithful, but don't invest your time if they will not be faithful. The Bible says this, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. I'm going to ask you this last question, then we're done. Ready? Are you faithful? When given a task, will you do it? When pushed up the hill and someone helps you, do you take that and build on it and do more for God? When someone gives you the truths of God, you take those truths and reach out and reach other people, or do you have to be propped up all the time? Ask yourself the question, because God said he will not invest in someone who's not faithful. If you will please God and you come into heaven, you'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And God has told men and women of God, don't invest in those people if they will not be faithful. Now, maybe you're faithful to a degree and you have some areas you can improve. Let's get that right with God today and say, God, please help me to be more faithful. Maybe you've been faithful in some areas, and let's say you're not faithful in money. Say, God, please help me to be faithful. Today I'm committing to be faithful in money. I'm going to be faithful in the worldly things so I can be trusted with true riches. Whatever it is today, I'm going to ask you to make a decision. I'm going to be faithful, permanently trustworthy. You can lean on me, you can depend on me, and God can look down and say, I'm depending on that person. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll have an invitation. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be faithful. Thank you, Lord, that you put money in our hands as a gauge or a thermometer to show if we're faithful to be stewards over the money you've given us. Father, thank you put families under our authority and people in business under our authority and employees under our authority to see if we'd be faithful with the power that you've given us. And you give us the opportunity to show that we're faithful in least. And then you said, now that you're faithful in least, I'm going to put you over much. Would you help us to be a people who are faithful to the task you've given us, permanently trustworthy? And Lord, today, if there's some areas where we find out that you've convicted us, we're not really that faithful, we haven't been faithful like we should be, today we want to commit that to you and say, God, please, I commit myself to be faithful. You can call on me to pray, and I'll get up and pray. You can call on me to teach the Word of God, and I will teach the Word of God, and I will learn the Word of God. God, please help me to be faithful. Bless us, Lord, as we attempt to be faithful, so you'll use us. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As the piano plays, I'm going to give a quick moment for an invitation. And I'm going to ask you to say, God, help me to be faithful. Say, Lord, I've got an area you've convicted me about, and I haven't been as faithful as I should be. I'm going to commit that faithfulness to you. I want you to make a statement to God. God, if you tell me to give some money, I'll give that money. God, find me faithful. God, if you tell me to pray, I'll get up no matter what time, day or night, and I will pray. God, help me to be faithful. God, if you give me an opportunity to witness or to teach your word to somebody, to train somebody, God, I will be faithful. I will not let myself get away. Even during this time of COVID, I will find somebody to teach the word of God to. I will be faithful. God, I want you to lean on me. I want to be permanently trustworthy. A faithful man. Lord, we thank you so much that you give us the opportunity to be faithful in that which is least, to show that you can trust us with much. Now today, Lord, I ask you to help shore us up. We yield ourselves to you. God, I ask you to help me as a person to say, God, I'm sorry for where I haven't been faithful. God, if you want me to do something, I'll do it. I'm yours. I'm yielding to you. You can trust me. You can lean on me. I'll be faithful. Father, help us to sacrifice what we need to sacrifice, to let go of what we need to let go of, that we can be faithful to you, that you can use us, and others can invest in us for eternal rewards. Father, we ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here Sunday night. We want you to know that on Wednesday night service at 6:30, we will announce more details about our parking lot service and our Sunday morning service. We have a limited number of people that can come on Sunday morning services. There's a chance that when the auditorium fills up and we're as much as we can social distance and still do things safely, that we may have to actually turn you away and ask you to finish on live stream. If that happens, we'll begin to have extra services in the near future. But for now, we want you to know that we appreciate you. We're looking forward to seeing you. Please, please, please check skyviewbaptist.com for any updates so you know what's going on and how. As we have to be mobile and change and shift as things change and shift in our country with the COVID-19 situation and this pandemic. We love you. If we can be a help to you, please let us know. And folks from Skyview, please remember, there are people around the world, here in America and around the world, who are suffering. Please be diligent to pray. Pray as if that was your family suffering. If that was you wondering how in the world you're going to actually pay for your rent or your house. They say, well, you can forego your payment for 2 months. Yeah, but what happens when 2 months is over and you owe 3 months? Most of us can't do that. There's a lot of people facing a lot of things, and you might be facing a lot of things. Please pray for others as you'd want them to pray for you. And God has a chance to show himself mighty and do great things. Often hard times produce great opportunity for God to be magnified. Please do your part to pray that that would happen. Let's be faithful. God bless you. Thank you so much for attending, and you are dismissed.